From the Financial Times in London, I'm Chris Nuttall, and this is FT News. Google has been caught up this week in a media storm after James Damore, one of its engineers, sent out a memo criticising some aspects of the company's equal opportunities policies. The memo provoked an outcry at Google and went viral after it was shared with the media. This prompted a rebuke from its head of diversity, finally ending in the dismissal of Mr. Damore. With me in the studio to discuss the row and its wider implications is Alia Ram, our European technology correspondent, and we're joined down the line by our San Francisco bureau chief, Richard Waters. Richard, first to you, can you outline the contents of this memo and what the response was from staff within Google?
Well, the aspect of the memo that received wide attention, and quite rightly, was the fact that this engineer questioned the aptness of women to do programming jobs. He said that biologically speaking, men are better at systemizing, as he called it, and women are better at more social and artistic things. It was maybe a throwaway line, but it produced the kind of reaction you might expect. However, this is part of a 3,500 word memo, and he says his intent was to question what he calls the ideological echo chamber at Google, that diversity politics has run amok and it's making it very hard to be objective about the real impacts of diversity. And actually, he has quite a few suggestions about, if you leave aside some of the things that Google are doing, are there ways of making the workforce more diverse without stooping to what he thinks are more political actions? So quite a dense memo, but obviously it was the biological strain that got the attention.
Yes, I think he said that he did get some support for his thoughts from within Google, but certainly not from Chief Executive Sundar Pichai, who decided to dismiss him. What reasons did he give for that?
Well, in an email to employees on Monday, Pichai said, "We can't allow a conversation that dismisses a large part of our workforce." I think this is how it's obviously been seen by many people inside Google, that if you conclude that 20% of your engineers, not as many as Google would like, but still 20% are women, and if you conclude that a lot of them are there because the company's lowered its standards to let them in, then you have a real problem internally. If nothing else, it makes it very hard for people to work with him in future for the kind of close cooperation, the horizontal assessment that Google does of its employees, all these things that rely on a very close level of trust, I think are broken down. And so Pichai really didn't have much of an option here but to act. I mean, this comes at a really bad time for Pichai and Google. For whatever reason, historically, they've had less than a fifth of their engineers have been women. They've been bending over backwards to do something about this. But they've got the US regulators on their backs for paying women less than men. They contest that. They say there isn't any evidence. But the regulators are quite adamant about this, and there's a court case going on. So a really bad time for Pichai when he's trying to show that Google is doing everything it can to right its gender diversity, to have such a strong backlash internally over the way he's doing it.
Quite a crisis for him as a fairly new CEO.
Yes, absolutely. You know, the Google culture is one that's built on this kind of open internal debate, the view that the best ideas win, and they try and hire the brightest people. They try and dispense with conventional wisdom. And so they encourage people to challenge conventional wisdom. And so this is one engineer who sounds like he's overstepped the mark. But internally, there'll be a lot of people saying, well, why can't we have an open debate about this? And so Pichai has had a very, very difficult choice. I think he's come down on the view that you simply can't open a debate like this publicly and dismiss a large number of your fellow workers. So in this instance, the rights of free speech don't come first.
Alia, this whole question of gender balance, gender diversity, is that an issue amongst European tech companies as well from your research?
Yeah, absolutely. There have been fewer high-profile cases in Europe, but the data and the numbers show that there is significant underrepresentation of women. It's often worse than it is in the US. So in British venture capital firms, only 27% of employees are women, compared with 45% in US venture capital firms. You know, there's data that shows women working in the UK's technology sector earn 9% less than their male counterparts. People are unhappy about it, but the debate is in very early stages compared with other industries.
There's also racial diversity as well. Is that an issue?
Yeah, well, it's complicated to measure because employees can choose whether or not to disclose their ethnic diversity. But in the UK, there's new legislation that's coming in, which means that companies with more than 250 employees will have to publish their gender pay gap. And there have been a couple of reports that have suggested this may be something that companies should do for their ethnic pay gap as well.
And Richard, looking at Silicon Valley as a whole, over the past year, we've had sexual harassment charges against venture capital and within Uber. How does Google fit in that context?
You know, what we've had this year is a very strong pushback against some apparent sexual discrimination and harassment. Obviously, the Uber case has been the most glaring example here. And companies like Google like to think they're at the forefront of change. And now, in their efforts to be fairer to one minority, and very definitely a minority in tech, they've now encountered a backlash from men, in this case, who feel that they're being discriminated against in the interests of another group. And so Google is really in the middle of the culture wars now, in a very uncomfortable position.
Richard Waters in San Francisco, Ali Aram in London, thank you for joining us.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. In unscripted conversations with investment professionals, you'll hear real stories about successes and lessons learned, informed by decades of investment experience. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. New episodes are available monthly. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.